Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another installment of Two Legs. This is episode number 203. We are mainly a Paul McCartney podcast dealing with the solo career of Paul McCartney. My name is Andy Nichols, co-host of that other small show and channel, The Other Leg, Andy's Music Vault. And joining me today for episode 203 is a fest-recovered Thomas Hunyadi, who is a co-host of Talk More Talk, a solo Beatles video cast that he does with Joe Mayo, Kid O'Toole, and Ken Michaels. Hi, Tom.
Oh, Andy. Yeah, I still think I'm probably another week out from being fully recovered, but then I got to recover now from last weekend, and then a week from now I got to recover from this past weekend. So
Well,
and then 3 weeks from now I got to recover from Record Store Day. So it's going to be a lot of recovering this month.
You could do Record Store Day in your sleep. Come on. You could do Record Store Day in your sleep, but to covering some newsworthy items related to that, and not a hearty happy birthday to Thomas Hunyadi, who this past week celebrated a milestone birthday. Wow. Yeah, I'm not going to say it, but you can guess. But he is going to be celebrating it this weekend when this drops. In fact, tonight he will be going to see the second time the Cirque du Soleil show Love in Las Vegas. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Yes. My wife took me 10 years ago for my 40th birthday. she took me to see it. But now my uncle, who, you know, we talked about seeing this together for years now, he's coming flying out here, and we're going to make the drive to Vegas, and we're going to see it together. So, and I've heard they made a few changes, so I'm looking forward to seeing if I, you know, remember the show enough to figure out what the changes were.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Hell of a show. Happy birthday, and have a great weekend there in Vegas, and enjoy everything. Much deserved. And hey, if you haven't seen the Cirque du Soleil show in Las Vegas, it's incredible. I went and saw it around 13 years ago, 14, and I didn't think much of it going into it. And then I was just blown away by the presentation, right. And I'm sure it's been tweaked. I mean, it's been running since, what, 2006, right?
That, yeah. And, well, even sooner, was it? Or is it, I'm not going to try to remember because I don't.
I think it was 06 when it opened up, okay. And which was just, you know, a great time to go see that and have a great time with that. And you know, you've all seen our fest related content. We had a bevy of fest activity on our YouTube channel, a little bit on our audio platforms too, but not as much nearly as the YouTube stuff. Thank you, commenters far and wide, for responding on and chiming into all those videos. I know that the acoustics weren't the best with some of those panels, but we did the best and we wanted to try to cover them, and we had a blast covering having our own panel doing Red Rose Speedway there, and we did. And that kind of ties into some news, because on the 22nd, we've got the half-speed master of Red Rose Speedway coming out as a part of Record Store Day. Paul continuing in the 50th anniversary series of all these releases. This will be the fifth one now. So, right. Yeah.
Fourth. So, and it's a trend. It's going to keep going. And just remember, it's a Record Store Day first. So that means if you don't get it this time, it should be available at some point again.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be an exclusive, because obviously they'll be available on his, you know, on his website. But I know you'll be out there grabbing it, and I'll be out there too on the 22nd going to grab it. So that's the McCartney news of the day. That release is coming out. Nothing really else truly pending.
No, it's been quiet. Quiet at the Mecca camp.
Which is fine for that, and we'll take it.
Trust me, after the fest, I mean, my wallet needs a nice break. You know, so I'll take it.
We'll take it, right? It's okay.
Yes.
So for today's show, we're going to do a kind of part two of something we did, of an episode we did a month or two ago, where we did our top 10 Paul songs back then from 62 to 66, kind of like a Red Album period. Today, we're going to do the top 10 songs between 67 and 70, call it the Blue Album. Well, this is our Blue Album edition of that. And one would agree, I would think, that Paul's songwriting between 67 and 70 was really kind of the high, one of the high water marks of his career. Not that the stuff wasn't in the early 60s, but, you know, you're talking about the biggies and the big time solo tracks, which may or may not appear in our top 10 list that we're going to go through here. You might see some obvious choices and some maybe not some obvious choices in our top 10 list for our Paul Blue album of 67 to 70. So we're going to start it off with you, Thomas. What did you have at number 10?
Number 10, like I wrote down my 10 songs, but I didn't put them in order yet. So I'm just going to kind of go with the flow and just put them in order as we go. And I just want to say, you know, this is our list, you know, so don't hate on us if one of your favorite songs are not on our list. But
right. That's please, why the show is called Two Legs with Tom Hunyadi and Andy Nichols and nobody else. Last I checked.
Leave it in the comments, your list, and, you know, we'll throw tomatoes at you if we don't like it.
Or hand waves.
Or hand waves, yes, true. I'm going to start off with something that doesn't get much, you know, talk on the White album, and that's one of my favorite acoustic pieces from Paul, and that's Mother Nature's Son. Love it. Love the acoustic playing. Love his singing. Love the lyrics to that. Born a young, poor, country boy, you know.
Yep.
It's really cool. Love it. And, you know, one I think deserves a little bit more love out there in the Beatles world. But Mother Nature's Son is just fantastic, beautiful little.
Find me in my field of grass, Mother Nature's Son. How great is that lyric?
Oh, it's great. And you don't really, you know, again, you know, lyrically, I just think he may have, you know, was hitting a stride back in 68, you know, 69 even.
Hell, you know, 1970 wasn't that bad either.
Yeah. No. When you got a Lennon in your back pocket, you know, to throw you a couple little, you know, pieces of advice from time to time. That's not such a bad thing.
Nice pick there. Number 10 for me. A little bit of an obvious one, but we're going to get it out of the way easier, and that's going to be Hey Jude at number 10. I was not going to be number 1 or 2 or 3. I knew it had to be in there somewhere for me. I don't know. Maybe it's not on Tom's list. I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah, Hey Jude's got to be on there. No explanation needed at all, the number 10. Number 9 for you, Tom.
We're going to go, I was thinking this, you know, looking at the songs on Pepper, I knew it was going to, you know, include something from that. And I ended up going with Lovely Rita. Again, just another, you know, another fun track, you know, sitting on the sofa with a sister too, you know, just love the lyrics, to that one. And I love the dreamlike, you know, Oz, you know, from
at the end,
at Lennon, you know, yep. Yeah, at the beginning. Of that track, and musically it's you know, and lyrically it's just a fun track.
Wow.
Yep.
Good, very good deep cut, deep pull, and excellent choice at Lovely Rita for number 9. I got to see him do that in 2013, and still I think the best time I saw McCartney. I saw him do Lovely Rita in Brooklyn, and that I still think it was the best overall set list. When you didn't see him do Lovely Rita.
No, he hasn't done Lovely Rita. Did he do it in 93? I don't think
no.
He did 93. No.
He did Mother Nature's Son at a couple shows in 93. Right. Mostly sound checks, but yeah. Lovely Rita, great track. Number 9 for me, we're going to take it over to the Let It Be album, and I'm going with Two of Us, the album opener. Okay. Two of Us. Just about it, Paul and Linda, but of course him and John thinks it's about him, you know. But it's a great track between the two of them, you know, the whole drum build up, you know, you and I, like all that. Have memories, I love that part of the song. Longer than the road that stretches out ahead.
Yeah,
love that lyric of that song. So Two of Us, easily top 10.
Yeah, you know, I did a little debate on whether or not I should like include that one, and then, you know, I've Got a Feeling, but I tried to keep it to where it was just mainly Paul on vocals. You know, Two of Us is a great pick, don't get me wrong. It's great. But I just try to keep it to
just Paul
on on vocals. So, but so yeah. So
number eight for you.
I'm going Day After Day, Alone on a Hill. I'm going Fool on the Hill.
The Fool on the Hill.
On the Hill. Yes, yes. Which I did get to see him do in '93, which was spectacular. Fool on the Hill. Beautiful track. Love the flutes. You know, it's the solo on that.
Mellotron.
Was that what the how they got the sound was from the Mellotron?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's excellent. And I think he was just on hitting all cylinders. I love the whirly music kind of feel to it. I like a lot.
It's a song that underwent a lot of changes and growth. And if you listen to the alternate track on the anthology, it's much more a kind of a smokier, darker track than the bright one that ended up on Magical Mystery Tour. It's got, I don't know if you've listened to that one in a long time, but that alternate take on Anthology 2 was like, whoa, this is a little bit of a different kind of track. But yeah, can't go wrong with, Fall on the Hill at number 8 for Tom. Number 8 for me, taking it over to Abbey Road, and we're going with one of John Lennon's favorite songs, Bang Bang, Maxwell Silver Hammer at 8. Yeah. I love Maxwell Silverhammer. I love it mainly because of the use of the Moog synthesizer. Abbey Road, the Beatles were one of the first to use the Moog synthesizer. Not the first, but George Harrison bought one and brought it in. And with the Apple stems that are out there, which is when the Rock Band game came out in 2009, a lot of those tracks that were in that game came out, and you were able to isolate them. And I did a little bit of that back then, hearing, like putting it through a computer program to hear other parts of the tracks and break them up. And really, the Moog is it's down low in that song, but it's one of the most effective uses of that song, other than the lyric being kind of hokey jokey, about a murderer. But I love the anvil. I love the bang bang. I love everything about that track. The melody, I don't think it's corny. I know they all hated it, but you can give me Maxwell Silverhammer. I love that track.
Oh, yeah, nice deep cut too. I'm sure when we talk to Womack, we'll get the inside scoop on the hammer and the anvil.
Yeah, good old Mal hitting the anvil on that bang bang. Yeah. Maxwell, so yeah, great track.
And that was cool. And it was great seeing the footage, on the Get Back.
Mm-hmm.
Series, Disney Plus.
Which was, and we saw that was in Let It Be though too.
Let It Be. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Number.
Then again, I haven't seen Let It Be. I haven't actually seen Let It Be in quite a while. So.
Well, with Get Back, you don't need to.
Yeah. Right.
Seven.
But seven. Yes. Sometimes sad is beautiful, and this is a very beautiful song, but it's really sad. And that's She's Leaving Home.
Mm.
And, I just love the harp, the opening. I love, and we get to get a little bit of that right at the beginning of the Pretty Little Head video.
Yeah, get the reprise.
Right. Yes. And, She's Leaving Home is beautiful. I love, here you do have a little bit of John in the doing the point counterpoint type thing.
Oh, the call and response, something inside. Yeah. What did we do that was wrong? That is, I mean, I know it kind of goes against what you were saying, having John and Paul, but you can't deny this track.
No, this was a powerful track, the combination of the two working together on this track, I think is beautiful. And it's just a well done, well crafted song.
One of the best. It's on my list too. We'll get to it in a few. Number seven for me, you already mentioned it at the top. I'm going to go with Mother Nature's Son from the White Album for all the reasons that you said.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Played it in 2002. I got to see him play it when I first saw Paul on the back in the U.S. tour in a little bit of a buskier arrangement. It's more of a ballad, obviously, on the White Album. It's softer. And then on 93 and some of those sound checks, it was a little bit, but obviously in 2002, it was played a little bit more, just a little more up tempo. But the original White Album track is just the best, hands down, for Mother Nature's Son. Number six for Thomas.
Number six, we're going with the great. I got to see him do this live last year. It's fantastic. She Came In Through the Bathroom Window. I've always adored the song, and I'm sure it'll always be in a top 10 if we're talking about, you know, 67 to 70 Paul songs. I love, you know, how it ends that particular you know, medley. And you know, and I loved hearing all the demos, the outtakes, or whatever you want to call them, the you know, all the different versions of the song that are out there, you know, like the one that's on the anthology, you know, what we got to hear, you know, on the Let It Be box set, you know, all the different versions out there.
Yeah, it went through a real different, really, you know, cool. Obviously it was a little more of a slower thing in the Let It Be session, Get Back, and then obviously working it into, you know, the middle of a medley. Pretty damn awesome. And then did you, when you saw him play live, was that when he linked it with Too Many People?
No.
Oh, you just saw him do it last year when he did right. Yeah, and with the Got Back, which was pretty cool too. Mm-hmm. Number six for you?
That was me that I just did.
That's what I'm saying. That was your sixth, right. Yeah. Six for me, we're gonna go back to Magical Mystery Tour. I'm going to go back to that vaudeville style of music, which is one of my favorite. Granny music, call whatever you want, but your mother should know at number six. Your mother should know. Great video from Magical Mystery Tour. Great tune. It's got that, you know, doon doon, you know, let's all get up and dance to a song before they love it. Absolutely love it. Can't get enough of it. I wish that song was, you know, 10 minutes. You know, it just went on for 10 minutes, but. Yeah, right. Those that listen, if you follow Two Legs, you know that those check my boxes. So, Love Your Mother Should Know at number six. Number five for you.
Oh boy, number five. Hold on 1 second. I just got to check something here. Number five. This was, again, this is. All right, let's just get it out there. Let It Be. From Let It Be. Love it. However, I know there's different versions out there. I prefer the George guitar solo, version of
the single.
You're talking about the single version with George's guitar solo.
Right.
On there, you know,
well, he's got a solo in both.
But it's more predominant, yeah. But it's I like the single version.
The one where he just riffs off and it goes right into it. Yeah, that one. Yeah. The single version. Yeah.
Yes.
Not the album. Yeah, the album version is much. The solo is there, but it's just not the same solo at all.
No. But that's what I think one of George's best guitar solos.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep, that's it, my friend.
Yeah, again, that's like my Hey Jude pick. It's obligatory. You got to get it in there, but no faulting there. Number five for me, going back to the White Album, and a song that probably is not on Tom's list, but it's on mine, and that's Martha, My Dear, from the White Album. Deep cut. One of the very few piano songs on the White Album. It's not too many. Oh, Blah, Dee, Oh, Blah, Da, there's a couple. But, you know, this is Paul in his craftsmanship, anti-John Lennon, like the songs that John just could not stand, you know, where Paul could write about a dog, a paperback writer, or anything. So definitely not a Lennon track at all, but, you know, and I know it's about his dog, but I love the melody of it, the hand claps, the brass, all the brass that you hear on it, you know, on Martha, and the hand claps, especially the brass work on that, just absolutely tremendous. 2.5 minutes of perfection. Martha,
I like
My Dear.
I love the piano intro to that, and I love the, you know, hold your head up, you know, silly girl. You know, it's, you know, yeah, great track. You know, if we were doing top 15, maybe that might have made it.
Yeah.
You know, same with Your Mother Should Know. I mean, that could have been like 11. You know, on this. I mean,
yeah, same.
You know,
putting that in there. So, I mean, I totally overlooked Lovely Rita, which you had on, which was a great pick. I was like, damn, I could have put that on there, but. I don't know what it would have elbowed, but Number four for you.
Wow, number four. Okay, well, we'll just get to Hey Jude. You know, for many years, this was my favorite, you know, Beatles song, period. You know, just remember, you know, being in my bedroom, the mm-hmm. lights out, listening to Hey Jude over and over and over. You know, again, you know, back in my, you know, my teenage years, you know, discovering all the music.
For the first time, right?
Yeah, and just Hey Jude just blowing me away. You know,
I think
but I mean, the thing is, it's just like, you know, that song, it just feels like he's singing to you personally.
Oh.
You know what I mean, when you're listening to that song, it's just got that great, you know, that the clever way where he, you know, you feel like he's actually singing to you. Like, there's other songs that are kind of like that, but you, I mean, it's not a, you know, but this kind of feels like it's directed solely at you.
And anytime you feel the pain, Hey Jude, refrain. Don't, you know, don't carry the world upon your shoulders. That's a universal message that is, you know, that anybody can take. And if it helps them feel better, that's why he wrote the song.
Two things I need to do at some point before I leave this planet or whatever it happens to you when you die is on one arm, I got to go. The movement you need is on your shoulders. And living is easy with eyes closed. I mean, two of my absolute favorite lyrics from Lennon and McCartney.
Yeah, and I just love that story in Anthology when he says, you know, oh, John told me, you know, don't change that line. You know, the movie you'll need right. is on your shoulder, you know.
Right.
That's a paradox. Won't you know? You won't, you know. That's the best. Know? That's the best damn line in the song. Love right. that story with Paul telling that again. You know, and it's so funny when you lend. Obviously, we had James Campion on who wrote a whole book on Hey Jude, yes. you know, the currency yes. of Hey Jude. And, you know, I still haven't finished it yet. Sorry, James. But you know, there's that great version from the Tripping the Life Fantastic album where on that line, he really drags it out. You know, the movement you need is on your shoulder. Like, just, yeah. you know, just goes to town on it. So you know when he sings that it means you know everything to him, which is also great, you know. So can't fault it. Got to be on there somewhere, and that was number four for you. Yes. Four for me. I'm gonna go back to Let It Be, and I'm going with The Long and Winding Road, the Phil Spector strings and all winding long and winding road. No. Come on, you don't like the strings version?
I'm Let It Be Naked version all the way. I know.
The purest part of you, I understand it, but Phil took, and I know Paul hates it, but on some level I'm sure he respected a little bit because it was a number one single. You know, I know that the strings and the choir and the harp and all that stuff was over the top, and he was royally pissed off when he heard it. Remember the memo? You know, don't ever do it again. Remember that? But
it's beautiful.
To me, the strings and the choir is what makes that song almost like the final nail in the coffin in the Beatles' line of legacy, you know? Because you know it's over, and the strings connote and convey that sadness of the end of the Beatles that you don't hear on the Let It Be Naked version, which is why I like the strings version, because it's so final. It's so over and done.
I get it. But for me, it takes away from his powerful vocals. I think what makes that song is his vocals. I think it's just you, when you add all that extra.
His vocals, you can still hear his vocals. You can still hear his vocals, though.
Sure. But again, you know, I think it's a distraction. I mean, look, it's great. What he did to the song is brilliant. I agree. However, I still prefer it without it.
And I'm sure there's plenty of people that do. Absolutely.
In the comments, what do you want? You want it with or without?
With or without strings. I bet you it's 50-50. Number three.
All right. Any version of this song, probably the song that had the most transformation of any McCartney song, maybe. Get Back. You know, I love all formations of Get Back. I love what he did. I mean... You know, as controversial as it was, or what it became, you know, during that, you know, during the Twitco, you know, aspect of it. And, you know, we got a great write-up when he watched it get back. It, you know, they talked about, you know, why, you know, they went with that way with the song that they did. But the finished product just one of the great, you know, Beatle rockers in their, you know, I think in their whole discography. I think it's a fantastic track. I think Paul's vocals are terrific. You know, seeing them perform it or working on it throughout that whole Get Back,
Oh, the evolution of just
the
riffing
evolution of
it,
it,
sitting
yeah,
there
just
riffing
hearing
it,
it,
yeah.
I love all aspects of that song. You know, just seeing him create it out of thin air there on during the show is mind-blowing. And yeah, Get Back number three.
Damn. Mighty,
You
mighty
gotta have
praise.
that outro with it. You gotta have
Doom,
the
doom, doom,
outro.
doom, 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 doom. Yes, yeah, for sure. Not the album version.
Right, yeah. Get back home, Loretta.
Right, yeah.
Your
Can't
mother's waiting for you.
argue with it. I wanted to say right now that did not make my top 10. It did not, but I can't argue with your ranking of it and your rationale for it because it is a great song. For me, it's a little on the fatigue side, just a little bit, but I liked your breakdown of it really kind of makes it a worthy placing. So I'm kind of reconsidering that I did that. But nevertheless, number three, Back to Abbey Road, and one of the best of all time, Oh Darlin',
Oh, wow.
at number three. Yeah, you have it on your list, right? No?
Listen, no, do not have it on
I
my
always
list.
thought that'd
Great
be one or
listen.
two for you.
Great vocal. Great vocal performance, which I'm sure you'll talk about, but yeah,
Oh,
go ahead.
you know, everything about it. You know, how he went into the studio early before everybody else to try to get the right exact vocal take. You know, he only lived right down the road there in St. John's Wood to do that, to try to hammer it out. And I know Lennon was super jealous that he didn't sing that song because he always thought of it was more of a song suited for his vocal style. You know, that shouting, you know, when you told me all that stuff, you know. But it's one of his best. That's as good of a vocal that he's ever delivered. Helter Skelter included, all of them. I don't take your pick. Oh, Darling might be his strongest vocal performance in any Beatles out of the 220 some odd Beatles songs that were out officially released. It's got to be up there. It's got to be. Not to mention just a great melody. You know, a great heartache song. You know, and I
I
ooh.
can, yeah, you can kind of see why he never, up until, you know, last year, fortunately, during the
Well,
Taylor
for
Hawkins,
Jesus. Yeah, I know. See,
you
Paul,
can
you could
see
have
why
played
he
that. You could have played that in '89. You could have got away with it then.
76,
Seven, that's really sad. That would have suited his '76 voice, but we know he wasn't, you know, he threw out five Beatle cookies, you know, but Oh Darling, that would have been a deep cut.
yeah, that's true.
That, yeah, Oh Darling, everything about, and then the great end, you know, with the piano crash. Boom, boom, doon, 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 doon. Love it. Love it. Number two for you.
Staying with Abbey Road, and it's the very beautiful and very powerful "You Never Give Me Your Money." Yeah, again, I think he did it last year, didn't he? Yeah, he did it last year. Again, the beautiful piano intro, beautiful vocals. You know, it's got some Klein.
Just You Never Give Me Your Money, just the one song, or you're lumping in the rest of
Oh,
the
well,
medley?
you gotta lump in the you know, out of college money spent, you know,
Yeah.
still you're paying no rent. You gotta, yeah, all that, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, all you gotta lump all of that in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it's such a powerful track. I think one of his, maybe, you know, where you say "Old Darling" is one of his greatest vocals, I think, you know, "You Never Give Me Your Money" is one of his greatest vocals of all time as well.
It's interesting because it's a little bit, he's a little all over the place. The song opens up very quietly, right? You never give me your money. And then all of a sudden it goes into this kind of like barroom type honky-tonk piano bit, you know, out of college, money spent. So really his vocal style is all over the place on that track, which is another reason why it should be, you know, I don't fault you for including it because it's awesome.
Yeah, and it's got a great you know, little guitar solo right before that too. You know, so it's just a standout track for me, always have been, and you know, I love it.
They can't argue with you. Number two for me, Tom already mentioned it 5 or 6 songs ago, but to me, one of his all-time best, She's Leaving Home. I know it was with John, but again, Tom said sometimes sad is good with songs, and this is one of them, you know? Everything about it, you know, the story, the motor trade, you know, but the ending, the last line, you know, something inside, that was, there's always, that is so great, you know, and then the high point, and then the bye-bye, just ending, perfect, 3 minutes of kind of Baroque pop perfection, and that's what that is, that's Baroque pop, that's what Wilson was doing with Pet Sounds, and Paul did it here magnificently with She's Leaving Home. I never tire of it. I prefer, though, actually the stereo version over the mono version because they wanted his voice to feel younger, so the mono version is sped up. And I respect that, but give me the stereo version of She's Leaving Home any day because it's slower. And when it's slower, it's sadder. Just apply the same thing that I ranked with Long and Winding Road and do it with this. When you slow it a little bit down and you add the strings, that you feel that. You feel that emotion a little bit more. The mono version is great, but you don't get the same effect, in my opinion, that you do with the stereo version of She's Leaving Home. Now, what's your reference point for that? Just the mono? Is that all you're going by? Do you know? Do you hear a difference?
You know what? It's been a while since I've actually, you know, played the two to see, you know, if there's any difference. But I generally go with the stereo. You know?
Yeah, it's for me, that's a no brainer. And then it just the way it just kind of then goes right into being for the benefit of Mr. Kite. It's totally just left field, but. And again, I got to see him do it once, which was fantastic. But everything about it, I love. Like you said, you mentioned he shows a little bit of it off in Pretty Little Head video. Not too long ago, they have 60 Minutes did a story on the lady who was the harp player on that, or CBS, yeah. CBS Sunday Morning, Sheila something her name was, and her and Ringo met up years and years later, which was so cool. Because, you know, these a lot of these musicians never really credited on the album. On the rare exception, on Revolver, like the guy who might have been played like horn on For No One, but not too many people were credited. And she plays that harp. That's the key to the whole track.
Yeah.
You know, she breaks down and cries to her husband, Daddy, our baby's gone. You hear the strings going through there kind of, you know, they're telling the listener, hey, there's something going on here. You know, there's some stress going on here. Our baby's gone. That's just fantastic songwriting and musicianship and arranging. And you know, unfortunately, George Martin did not arrange it. Mike Leander did, because you know George was very perturbed about that. But Paul wanted it done, so he called
wanted
him,
it done,
and he got the guy to do it.
when he wants a song done, he gets it done.
He does. And Mike Leander, and I don't know much about him other than his history with this song, but we know about him because he's the one that Paul called in to do it. All right, brother. Drum roll time for your number one, please.
Number one. When the Sergeant Pepper, that 50th anniversary came out.
Mm-hmm.
I just switched. I mean, Hey Jude had always been my favorite Beatles song, for decades. I've always loved the song, but listening to it, I mean, Penny Lane has taken over.
Ooh.
For me, for my top
Damn.
Spot.
How did I forget that one? Shit.
Well, I mean, listen. I mean, it was you know, the double A side. I think that was the one that did better. Right, was Penny Lane.
Yep.
I love the story. I love the just, you know, I love the video for that too. Just walking down Penny Lane and you're meeting everybody. You know, you're meeting all of these people, and it makes you want to stop in. You know, it makes you want to, you know, go in that barber shop. It makes you want to, you know, help wash that, you know, the fire engine. You know, it's just a well crafted, well told story. And you know, again, musicianship wise, it's fantastic. I love Paul's bass You know, in that I love the, you know, the horn, obviously, or the
Played
trumpet, whatever, you
by
know.
Dave
Yeah.
Dave Mason, not
Yes.
of Traffic Dave
Right.
Mason, but of
Not
the
of
class,
traffic. Not of
not
traffic.
of
Right.
traffic, but the classical. And Paul only he only got that guy because he heard the he heard that he
Right.
heard that trumpet sound on television and said to
Oh,
George Martin, "What
right.
was that?" You know,
That, right. Was, what do you say, a Bach trumpet or something like that?
by a
French
Bach. He was
horn?
watching a
Yeah.
Brandenburg concerto thing on TV, and it says it's a Bach trumpet.
Right.
And again, one of those key points of the song, like the harp and she's leaving home, the trumpet
Right.
in Penny Lane, those are key signifiers of of those pieces of music, no doubt. Damn, partner, that's your number one. Wow,
That's my
worthy.
number one. Yeah.
When did you first hear the U.S. promo alternate, which has that kind of trumpet reprise at the end of it? Dun,
Right.
dun, 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 dun.
Was
Would have been the I heard it before the anthology, but you might have heard of it before.
on the was it on the blue? Was that the version that's on the blue?
No.
No. No, I don't remember how I first heard it.
Could have been the
But I know I
anthology.
heard it.
Yeah, you've heard the
I know I
dun,
heard
dun,
it.
dun, 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 dun. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. And it's cool. I like that a lot.
Yeah, the anthology's
But
got a nice single-tracked version. If you listen to Penny Lane, you know it's a double, his vocals double-tracked in it, right? So you can hear, but on Penny Lane, it's just a single track. So it's nice hearing Paul sing it just by himself. He hasn't doubled it over yet,
Yeah.
which is why some of those anthologies still, 25 years plus on later, are still a joy to go back and just skip around to hear things like that.
Right. When he's doing the, you know, Penny Lane is in my ears and in my eyes. I just picture it's just so when you try to sing along to it, it's so difficult. I mean, he makes it just seem so effortlessly. It just seems so weird to kind of like sing that out loud when you're singing along, but he just does it so smoothly. You know, and the, you know, and the vocals after that too.
Try
It's
humming it to
incredibly
yourself. Try humming it to yourself when you're
right.
walking down
Yeah.
Penny Lane.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
You
Yeah,
know,
I'm
with
sure
your
it's great.
headphones on and you're just, you know, you're walking down, well, Smithtown Road is the main drag in Penny Lane. And that's the name of the street you see on the bus that comes through, which
Right.
I forget the name of the bus off the number of the bus. Was it the 26A? I mean, my Liverpool history is off, but somebody will correct me, I'm sure, in the comments. But yeah, to walk around Penny Lane and see all those spots, you know, I got my hair cut in Penny Lane, you know, everything, the barber shop and the thing in the middle of the roundabout is still it was a shelter in the middle of the roundabout, and it's this thing that was called the Sergeant Pepper's Bistro, or it's a restaurant. It must be it's got to be vacant for 20 years. It's just nothing still. It's nothing, which is sad. You know, and if you watch that carpool karaoke with Paul, you see him hit all those spots around Penny Lane. But man, what a I can't argue with the ranking of number one of Penny Lane, brother. That's a great spot for it. So it was Hey Jude for a long time, but Penny Lane has bumped it out.
Penny Lane is now, you know, actually, you know, I kind of, you know, three songs have kind of, you know, overtaken Hey Jude for me with, you know, Get Back, You Never Give Me Your Money and Penny Lane. But yeah, incredible. I mean, it just goes to show, I mean, how powerful his vocals were, you know. I mean, look at, I mean, all the different ranges that he has during in our picks, you know, is something to be, you know, something to be cherished.
Yeah, I mean, again, using instruments as kind of signifiers in songs, and we and in formal musicology we call that semiotics, you know, which I studied over there, which was some deep stuff. But like a line, like, and then the fireman rushes in, and you hear the bell, ding, ding,
Right.
ding, ding. That's what that is. So that's the study. That's like when you're hearing instruments that mean other things, right? You know, and the fireman rushes in. You're hearing the bell signifying
Right.
the fire
Yes.
station, the things like that. And that's a
Yeah.
perfectly executed semiotic study of a part of a song.
Right. Yeah. It's produced. You know, George Martin did a great job producing. Kind of like, you know, maybe, you know, with the, we kind of went overboard a little bit with Average Person, where you got all those extra, you know, sounds and bells and
Yes.
whistles, and, you know,
Bump to do a
and
man who been a
maybe a little,
boxer. Do 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 do
yeah,
do do.
exactly. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And then you get the, you know, yeah, the Lion Tamer or whatever, you know.
Right, right, right,
Yeah.
right. Ask him what has
Yeah.
been his
Animal
greatest
Farm.
night.
Yeah.
I might, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's
Go ahead.
great, great, great pick, brother. My number one, I have forgot about it, made my 10, and I'm like, wait a minute. This has to be number one, because I had She's Leaving Home as my number one. And then I forgot this, and I just went down, and I just wrote this above She's Leaving Home. And for me, it's the end of Abbey Road, Once There Was a Way to Get Back Home. Yeah. Golden Slumbers.
Yeah.
The Golden Slumbers medley, all of it. Golden Slumbers, Carry That Weight, the end. I'm grouping that as one track. I know it's bracketed, as broken up as individual tracks, but for me, it's the whole kit and caboodle. Paul did such a good job of writing the state of what his mind and where the Beatles were at the time, whether it was The Long and Winding Road, Let It Be, as you mentioned, You Never Give Me Your Money, as you mentioned, obviously with the Apple struggles and the money and stuff like that. But to me, you know, Once There Was a Way to Get Back Home, you know, Sleep Little Darling, and you know, the Beatles are ending their career, going out on their own terms with and everything's in here. So it starts as a nice little ballad, you know, and then goes into, you know, this Carry That Weight. You know, you're going to carry that weight a long, long time. They're talking about themselves, you know, and then it goes back, and then you hear the horns going back to the reprise of You've Never Given Me Your Money. You know, Billy Joel one time was giving a talk on Abbey Road, and he was like, I was listening to Abbey Road, and then Golden Slumbers, and all of a sudden you hear, dun, 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 and he goes, oh my God, how did they do that? You know, so even he was wowed by that, you know, so you get a little and then you go right into the end, you know, and in the end, you know, the love you take is equal to the love you make. Is that not a fitting end to one of the best careers in music, pop music history?
Yeah, I was just blown away, you know, seeing him live last year, and I was like, okay, he starts the song, and like, you know, my mind's going racing. I'm like, this can go great, or this can go really, really bad. And I'm just so happy that he nailed this song vocally when Rick and I saw him at SoFi. I was just so emotional that he was able to carry that out.
So, you know, think about this. Carry That Tune. It was a lot for him as a 28 or 29-year-old guy when he wrote it, right? You know, Once There Was a Way to Get Back Home, you know, Carry That Weight. And then think with 50 years hindsight of everything that he's been through. His marriage, the birth of his kids, the loss of John. You know, and then he gets up there and he sings, you know. And then when you go to see him sing Golden Slumbers live after everything he's been through, and you hear those chords play at the end of a concert, how is anybody not bawling when you would listen to that, you know? And then you hear through the whole thing, you know, you're going to carry that weight into, and then ending the concert the way it does. That's like a religious experience. That 7 or 8 minutes alone is a religious experience. Any version of it, Tripping to Life, fantastic. The one you saw me last year with Got Back, he did it when I saw him. It's like being lifted into another stratosphere of inner harmony and peace, and a place that you just know that is like so magical for Paul, and you being able to witness it. I can't explain it any better than that. And that's what Golden Slumbers, the medley, is to me, and it's why I have it at number one. That's it.
That's great. No, I applaud you for putting that up on the top of your list. You know, I feel strongly about it too. I just, you know, unfortunately not number one.
Right, but like I said, you didn't put that. I didn't put Penny Lane. See, there's just so many classics that we're gonna miss, because wherever we're at with it, that's where we're gonna put it. Where we are now. And now we could do this show a year from now, and we might have 10 different tracks. Maybe.
Probably. Well, look, I mean, I really wanted to put Getting Better on there. I really wanted to put Your Mother Should Know on there. You know, there's, you know, a couple tracks I really wanted to get in there. You know, Blackbird. Blackbird is a phenomenal. I mean, it's a classic.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
That didn't make any of our lists. You know?
No, it did not.
No, you know, no. I mean, listen, I mean, he had, look, what did he have? Okay, you know, Penny Lane, Hello, Goodbye. You know, Lady Madonna didn't make our list.
No.
Nope. You know, Hey Jude, you know, Get Back. I mean, he had all these string, you know, Long and Winding Road and Let It Be. He had just these strings of mm-hmm. great singles that, you know, if they didn't go number one, they were top five at least, you know. So
yep.
It's impressive.
Certainly is, but that's our 10. let us know your 10. Thomas, what's new in the pipeline for you these days? Talk more talk, collecting.
Talk, yeah. Well, you know,
more collecting, we know. You saw all of our fest videos.
Yeah, I've gotten a couple 45s from around the world that I'll be posting soon on our Instagram page. So don't forget to check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Two Legs Podcast. But yeah, I mean, talk more talk. We're trying to figure out something here for the next show, but we might have to postpone it just because I know Kit's dealing with her dad's not doing well. And then
Kit, we're thinking Monday, of you. We're thinking of you, Kit.
And then Monday, I'll be at the Grand Canyon. So I don't know if I'll be back in time to do the show. So we might have to push it, a day or two or push it into for another week or two. So I don't know. But unfortunately that's just what happens when
where the cookie, you know,
life is busy making other.
And you do that show with four people, so to try to line four people up, it's tough.
Yeah. And exactly. We can never do a guest spot on anybody's show because it's just so tough to for the four of us to be present or to be available at the same time, you know.
You know, totally.
We're talking three different time zones, you know, so as well.
Right. It's hard enough with just you and I.
Right.
You've got to do it with another show and three other people. So.
Exactly. So, but yeah, just busy. And, well, I'm sure Talk More Talk will be back soon, but Andy, you just dropped a new, video.
I did. I dropped a new video on my channel just where I picked up some new things this spring and non-Beatles related on my my other channel, the other leg, Andy's Music Vault. Got the new Who Live in Wembley triple LP and two CD, the new Elton John Honky Chateau 50th double LP and two CD, and a colored vinyl of Procol Harum's Procol's Ninth, which I'm almost done rounding out the colored vinyl of them as well. The 8 days a week version's so-so, though. It's not great.
Okay. Yeah, just more reasons for you not to finish that damn 45 cents.
No, and I still didn't even finish the Dylan. I got like two records to go in the Dylan box set still, too. I'll get there, which ties into our next thing, you know, what's up for Two Legs for us. We will do a box set review of the 7-inch singles at some point. We are also going to bring Luca Parazzi on at the end of this month. And interview him. He will probably likely be episode 205 for us, which will be at the end of the month. We're interviewing Luca in a few weeks to review his second book, Paul McCartney, Music as Ideas, the songs between 1970 and 1989, which he has plugged for us and sent us copies. And he's also mentioned us on the Hoffman Forum as well. So thank you, Luca. Working our way through that one. We're also going to have at some point... I forget now. We're going to have somebody else too this month.
We got a bunch of people. I mean, I don't know about this month, but we're working, you know, we're looking to have Jude Kessler on.
Right.
Looking to have James Campion back on. We got to get Owen Ling back on
for mm-hmm. George thing. So, yeah.
You know, we got lots of stuff coming up.
We do, and we're gonna stick to it and do our best to do it. We also have, we'll also be doing a new, at some point this month, a live edition of Stuck Inside These Four Walls with our friends Joe Mayo and Beatley Tone from Beatley Tone's Beatles channel. That will be at some point later this month. We have not zeroed in a date yet, or did we?
Yeah, I think we did.
The last month. Yeah, I think that towards the end, but it's going to be live. I'm sorry, there's all these shows and dates, and again, this is only a hobby, folks. But we are going to do the third installment of that live towards the end of the month. So what we're going to have, we're going to take questions from the people that are watching us live. We're going to do our round robin of questions where we ask each other hypotheticals. We're going to do two rounds of that, and then we're going to take your questions as they kind of appear in the comments as we see them and as we kind of want to choose to, you know, read them or not. So if we don't read your question, don't get offended. We're just trying it out for the first time to do it live. So we're looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun to do that. They've been a lot of fun to do with Tone and Joe and ourselves, even though, again, Tone's all the way over in the UK, but he stays up late for us and makes it work for a you know, for our show. So that's so there, that'll be coming up on our channel towards the end of the month. So we'll promote it in due time and let you know. So that is going to do it for episode 203. So for my partner in crime, Tom Hunyadi, I am Andy Nichols, and we'll see you on the next episode of Two Legs. Peace out.
Listening to Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast, hosted by Tom Hunyadi and Andy Nichols, with musical contributions by Dylan C.